verses 15 through 17. John 3, 15 through 17. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through he might be saved.
So happy that you're here today. We got a wonderful crowd. We have visitors with us, and we're so thankful that you're here. And we invite you to be back with us every opportunity that you have. And Nick, I got to say it, if you're looking for a church home, look no further. This can be your church home. We want you to come and worship with us. I think that you'll find that you have a group of people here that is striving to live each day for the Lord. We all have struggles in our own way, but we're here to help each other and lift each other up and encourage each other, and we do love each other. We hope that we can influence you and impact you that way today, that you know how much that we love the Lord, and I know that you do because you're here, and that you would want to worship God. If we can help you in any way, we want to do that. And I look around and I see people that I've not seen in a while, people I went to school with, and it's good to see you. It's good to see all of our visitors. We're off of a great week here. Last week we had Vacation Bible School. Many of you were here for that, and we're going to recognize some people at the close of this service today, but we appreciate you for being here. We had 500 last week. Over the period of the week here, and we appreciate each one that helped and supported that, and we really appreciate you being here today. Who is your special friend? Think about it for just a minute. Who is that special friend that you have? You know, we go through friends in life, don't we? I think back on my childhood. I think back of when we first moved to Tresvant when I was in second grade. I think back of when I started to school here at Tresvant, even before it became West Carroll, and who I attached myself with. Then I think later on in life when I was getting on up a little bit older, I don't remember exactly how old it was, but I had to ride a bus to school, and not that that was a bad thing. I was thankful I didn't walk. I had a bus to come by. And I remember I met a friend on the bus. Now, he wasn't really my friend then. It probably took another 10 or 15 years before we got to be friends, but it's Keith Peavy House. And those of you that don't know Keith Peavy House, he's sitting over here. Y'all get to know him before you leave here today. You'll love him, too. He's a good friend. Now, I don't ever forget. He said when I got on the bus, I looked like I was scared to death. I kept my head down, afraid somebody was going to get me. And Keith took up for me on the bus. He made sure nobody picked on me. Boy, that was a special friend. And it took some years later till we got reacquainted. And he said, I remember you on the bus. I remember how people used to pick on me. And I remember how you took up for me. And Keith said, I'm thankful you remember it that way. I don't know if that's the way it was or not, but Keith kind of pushed me that way to believe that. Then you look around, and Greg McLean, he and I have known each other for years. And you know, Greg and I, if we'd have grown up closer, we're pretty close to the same age, but if we'd have hung around together, we would have gotten in trouble. We would have been in trouble. And Shannon Butler's sitting in here somewhere. He's hiding from me. There he is. Shannon and I did get in trouble together. It wasn't that we would have, we did. And you look back on your life and you say, well, that was great moments in our life when we used to play and have a good time and enjoy life and get acquainted. You know, we would attach ourselves to people real quick. Our children today, when they go to school, they get to have friends. I don't know what it is that causes us to call someone a friend. It may be that we look kind of alike, we think alike, we like the same things, or we get stuck in the same class, we get stuck sitting next to each other, but something comes along in life that makes us attach ourselves to someone and say, that is my friend. And friends are so special. Today we're here, first of all, number one, to worship our Father in heaven. That is our main goal, and that is our main purpose as we come here this morning. And with that, we're here to remember and to show love to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want to do that every time we come together to worship. But today, even on top of that, we're here to celebrate our friends and our family. Because you're so special. Take just a second and look around you. I don't know who invited you. I know who invited some of you. But just take and look around yourselves for just a minute. Look at those special people that you're sitting next to. What's special about them? You love them. You know, the highlight of my life and over the years was being able to preach. And I've never claimed to be a preacher. But the highlight has been that I preach. You know what's special to me looking back over the years? Is I could look out into the crowd and I could see my wife and my two children. And they were there at worship with me. And we worshiped our Father in heaven together, and we went there, and we were brothers and sisters in Christ, and we were family, and we were friends, and we could focus on God together as a family. And we've had some good luck, and we've had some bad luck, and we've had some happy moments, and we've had some sad moments in our family. We've had all the emotions that all of you have had in your life and in your family. But the one thing that's held us together is our love for God and our willingness to serve God and hold each other's hand in difficult times and say, at the end of the day, we have God. And God is going to stand with us, and God is going to help us through these problems and through these trials and through the things we go through. So take a moment as I'm up here preaching. I'm not going to preach very long. I get a lot of advice here about how long I ought to preach. And I'm not going to call no one's name. She's sitting about halfway back. Right over here. She's got her head down right now. Black glasses on. I get a lot of advice from people how long I ought to preach. I'm not going to preach very long because we are going to recognize our VBS at the end of this lesson. But while I am preaching, I want you to think about who you're sitting with. Think about everyone in this congregation. Think about what makes them so close. What is it that makes you love them? What makes them a part of your family, or what makes them your friend? I looked up in a dictionary the word friend. It's a person whom one loves and trusts. Another definition said a friend is a person who gives assistance. He's a supporter. You know, I like to think of a friend as someone who goes to the end of the earth and back with me. That's what my definition of a friend is. Someone who would go to the end of the earth with me and back again. Because we have that kind of relationship, because we have that kind of love. And the reason he or she would do that is just because you ask them to. I think that's the definition of a friend. I think the real definition has to come from within ourselves. What kind of friend are we to someone else, and what do we want someone to be for us? Found an article the other day. I want to share it with you for just a minute. It talked about friendship. It said a friend is someone who will help you when you're right, and has the courage to let you know when you're wrong. Did you hear that? A friend is someone that will help you when you're right and has the courage to let you know when you're wrong. It went on to say, our children go to school and meet so many different people and quickly attach themselves to certain ones as friends. Says maybe it's because they act the same way. Maybe it's because they play the same games. Maybe it's because they like the same foods. Whatever it is, they become friends. We need to make sure that they realize that not everyone is your friend. Friends are the ones that you want. Friends are the ones that want what's good for one another. Anyone that does not want good for you, it went on to say, is not your friend. Anyone that gets you into trouble instead of helping you stay out of trouble is not a friend. Anyone that keeps you from doing what's right is not a friend. It said a true friend makes every effort to be there for each other in times of need and strife. In good times and in bad times, friends will be there. They love and they help each other during the happy times as well as the heartbreaking times. They look beyond the superficial and they see the quality of the heart and the pure goodness of the soul. People that can depend on you no matter what the situation may be. This morning, for the remainder of the time, I want to tell you about a true friend. You all know my friend. I don't know how well you know him, but I want to share some facts about a friend, and then I'm going to close. I think this may hit home with everyone. I especially hope it will hit home with our young people, because I don't know how many of our young people really know about Jesus and where he come from and where he started and all about his life. It says, my friend, the area where he lived was worn down by poverty. Government was not good. They had to pay high taxes. The rulers didn't do what was right, and the rulers tried to be men pleasers. Only a few at the first that my friend was born. Only a few knew at first that my friend was born. He was not born in a hospital. His mom and dad was a poor couple in a poor country. But where he was raised was a lovely place. It was on a hillside country surrounded by gardens, fields, but the town had a poor reputation. His house was probably one in a cluster of little houses, probably a one or possibly two room house, 9 feet by 12 feet or around about there. They used their houses for cooking, eating, sleeping, and living in storage. My friend's dad was a carpenter, so the other room was probably a workshop. He didn't build houses, he built furniture and tools and such. Be a carpenter back when my friend was young, they would be involved in tree cutting and transporting logs for their work. My friend also was helpful to their neighbors with their livestock, picking and working in the fields, general farming work. He developed a powerful physique. He was a man. He was very concerned about people and God. He started learning and teaching as a boy, and as he grew older, he surrounded himself with some real good friends who loved him very much. As he started to preach, he preached the message of love. Some people loved to hear him preach and teach. Even children loved to hear him. He had a way about telling stories where you would be interested in hearing them. Although some didn't like what he was saying about it at all. That's how Jesus started. And I don't know where you're at today in your life. I don't know how much money you have. I don't know how big a house that you have. But Jesus started without the best in his life. And yet he is our friend. Listen to what John said in John chapter 15, starting in verse 12. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, when we think about friends, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Should be love. That we love each other. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall down. We're going to have trouble in our life. I talked to a man yesterday morning that I love so very much. And as he and I discuss problems that we've had in life and problems that we're facing now and different things in our life, we knew that the bond that we had in friendship is that we loved each other. And as we sat and talked, we shared a lot of things. When I look at him, I look at a great man. I don't look at a perfect man, and he's not looking at me as a perfect man because we both made mistakes. But we do look at each other as friends, knowing that we can help one another through our troubles, through our trials. And that's what Jesus is telling us right here in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that you have time for each other, that you have concern for each other. When a brother or sister is hurting, you're there to lift them up. You're there to help them. How do you end that verse? As I have loved you. How much did Jesus love us? Talked to a person this last week about becoming a Christian. I talked to him about obeying the gospel. I talked to him about the desire that he needed to have in himself to be obedient to God and be faithful to God and allow Jesus' blood to cleanse the sin from his life. He didn't see the need in it. And I explained it to him. I said, the problem that we have, I didn't say the problem you have. I said, the problem that we have is because we have sin in our life, we cannot have a relationship with God. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 tells us because of sin, God hides his face from us. He cannot hear us. There's not a person in here, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, that would raise your hand if I said, raise your hand if you don't want to have a relationship with God. We're all going to keep our hands down. You know how I know that? Because every one of us wants a relationship with God. He is the one who created us. And he gave us every blessing that we have in our life. And we can look at our life and we can say, life is so hard, preacher, you don't understand. You've not been through what I go through. You don't have the problems I have. And we can say all the things that we want to say. And we can in turn turn around and say, look at the blessings that I have. We may not have everything that we want. But folks, if we look, we can see that we're blessed. We can have a terminally ill disease and know that we're leaving this earth and still look at the blessings that we have. Because we know that we're blessed because we have a Father in heaven who loves us so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. Salvation. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, the good news, is what's going to save our soul. Many, many people today are running from God. They're running from the truth and they're running from God and they don't have time for God, the church, or the Bible. We get caught up today in the world and it's easy to do because Satan is drawing us so fast and so hard to pleasures of this world. And he wants us to wrap our arms around the world and say, hold on to pleasures. The next verse, verse 13, says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Let me close by saying this. Jesus loved us so much that he went through a series of trials. Could not find any fault, any blame with him. He stood before the men of that time and they could not find anything wrong with what he had done except they wanted to please the people. After Jesus' trial, there was controversy over it, and it still is today, and we see it in the scriptures because it was an unjust trial. And they took him, and the physical agony that he started was in Gethsemane. The Bible tells us that he was sweating blood. Have you ever been nervous? Have you ever been stressed? You ever had a problem in your life where you just got worked up and you didn't know what you were going to do? We've all been there. I know that we have. We've all been stressed because something was happening to us or a family member or something we wanted or needed real bad in our life that we just could not concentrate on what was going on around us. And maybe at that point in our life, we dropped to our knees and we prayed, God, please help us. Help me get through this. And that's where Jesus was at that night. He was praying and he was begging and he was pleading because he knew exactly what he was about to go through. And the scripture says in Gethsemane, the sweating of the blood. Next, Jesus was arrested that night. I'm not going to go through every aspect of what went on after his arrest. But he was brought before the Sanhedrin. And there he was struck. Later on, they blindfolded him and they beat him. They spit upon him. They made fun of him. They made a crown of thorns and they placed it on his head. And then they hit that crown of thorns. He went through a scourging, a beating. The beating entailed a whip, and they would put pieces of glass or metal or rocks on this whip, and they whipped him. They beat him so bad he couldn't lift himself up. And then they give him a cross, a board, a log, and said, you carry this to the hill. I can just see him struggling. I've tried to hold stuff before when I was tired and sweaty. Bad as I wanted to hold it, it would just keep falling out of my hands. Can you just imagine Jesus, bloody and sweaty, trying to bear this cross, and he just kept dropping it and dragging it and trying to get it up until finally he had to have help to carry his own cross where he was going to be nailed. They get up there and they drive the nails through his hands and through his feet. Now keep in mind, he's been punished. He's been punished for something he had not done. Stretched his hand out and drove a nail in that wrist. Stretched a hand out, drove a nail in that wrist. Don't forget how much pain that had to be. I can hit my thumb with a hammer, and it just tears me up. He left them arms stretched out. And they hoisted him up and tied him to that tree. And they all come by and looked at our friend. And they made fun of him. And they challenged him. If you who you say you are, come down. Norris, that wouldn't fly with me. I got too much Carroll County blood in me, or whatever you want to call it. Because somebody challenges me and says, just if you who you say you are, come down. Sang a song he could have called 10,000. Destroyed them all and set him free. If I remember the song, he died alone for you and me. Through all the making fun of, the challenging him, if he's Son of God, come down, he stayed there. He stayed there until he breathed his last breath. Y'all remember the words he said? It is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. What was finished? Have you ever wondered what was finished? The burden that he had to carry of my sins and your sins was finished. He went to that tree, he went to that cross, and he hung there so that I could have forgiveness of my sins. And he said, it's finished. And today, he's still sitting there with his arms wide open saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Today, the question is, at Family and Friend Day, as we're celebrating our relationships and we love each other, and I love this crowd, and I hope that you'll come back every opportunity that you get. But the challenge that we have as we celebrate our friendship today with each other, can we celebrate our friendship with Jesus? Because there's no greater relationship that any of us could want or need in our life than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He is our true friend. Peyton read for us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the friend we need. This morning, if you're not a Christian, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you?